Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just saw some beautiful video in Hawaii of the volcanic eruption.
No.
Oh, the lava spewing into the air, and it's bright orange red, and there's rivers of lava flowing from the mountain. It's really spectacular looking.
This feeds your destructive end of the world kind of hunger. We have said many times before you'd like to sit in your basement, do that bunker you built, and watch the end of the world.
Yeah, well, I can see what it would look like.
A small sample of what it could look like, right?
Yeah, well, it hasn't hurt anybody yet. It's it's flowing over the sides.
There's a
of the
mayor in one of the towns in Hawaii which says it's a good time for people to come because it is pretty amazing to see.
Oh, if I could, I would love to sit there and watch that. Yeah,
I was there a year ago and I saw a different volcano, but there was still some lava bubbling down in the ridge, and you could go and look at it at night. It was really cool.
Yeah.
I think it was called Kilauea, I think it was called, that volcano. It was not far from this one. It was on the Big Island. So, I did. I saw some of the pictures this morning of what you're talking about.
But it's really beautiful.
It's not hurting anybody's homes, right?
No, I climbed a volcano once a few years ago, and there was still like hot steam coming between the cracks of the lava rocks.
Oh, you should have dove in.
Well, They gave you sticks and marshmallows, and we toasted marshmallows.
Really? Where was this volcano?
I think Guatemala.
Guatemala?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, don't scare Deborah Mark, because there are volcanoes in California.
Yeah, I don't need any more scaring situations.
Is there an active one in California? Something that went off in the last few hundred years?
I don't know. No. I don't know. I just remember reading that there is more than you think.
It's in the West Valley.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's see. Earthquakes, volcano eruption. Earthquake, volcano eruption.
Under her home.
Right. Mm.
Thanks, Ken.
Quick reminder, the Pastathon is not over, all right? Yesterday was a big day in the Conway Show at the White House Restaurant in Anaheim and Chef Bruno. But, you know, that's kind of just our big day. But it's going on. So please continue to donate pastathon.com. Well, I turned on the TV to watch John's Poland. And all I saw was the ball always down in the Polish defensive end. Argentina kept pressing every time I watched. The ball was always down in there. Your country just doesn't really, they didn't do very well offensively against.
No, but they advanced to the next round.
Yes, thanks to a tiebreaker, they knocked out Mexico.
Mm-hmm. So that's their style. Their style is to play a hard lockdown defense. Yeah. And if they get a chance to score, they're good on a breakaway. But they don't spend very much time trying to set up a consistent offense.
It was nothing. I watched for 15 or 20 minutes, and, you know, the clock continues to run, and I'm like, Argentina's always down this the end towards the Polish goal. I was like, doesn't Poland have anything going for him? Can he get the ball past midfield on offense?
No, I was listening to the first game they played, and the announcer said that is their style. They don't actually try to put offensive plays together.
It's too complex.
It's one thought they have is block the other team.
The one thing you realize...
Why complicate matters?
When you watch the game at this level is, you know, how strong their legs are and how they can kick balls at such angles that it just amazes you. Yeah. I saw the second goal by Argentina, and just the way that came off his foot, his leg, and just angled towards the corner of the goal above the goalie's head was pretty amazing. I was like, I could never do that. I mean, what a blast.
Yeah, soccer players have incredible body control and stamina.
Right.
They just nobody scores.
Yeah.
It's got the basis of a good game, but there's just no points.
Americans always want points, right? You know, I go to a football game, I want to see 10 touchdowns. Baseball game, I want to see 9 homers. But I go to a soccer game and it's 0-0. What the hell?
Well, Eric, what'd you say? The Polish haven't gotten this far since what,
1986.
So this is a big day.
Right. Yeah. Right. So they're in the round of 16, right? Yeah. Do you know who they play next?
And France.
Oh, that's right. They do play France.
We'll beat the crap out of you people.
Well, France has got a pretty good team, so.
Yeah, that's all right.
And losing to Argentina. France. Argentina's got a pretty good team, too. But
yeah, one of the best.
Let's just be clear. You lost today, but you still advanced.
It was the first game that Poland lost.
Well, they had a tie, didn't they?
Right. They had a win, a tie, and a loss.
Yes. That gets you to the next round.
That gets you to the next round. They set up the rules, so roll with it.
Yesterday, of course, the big story was that the U.S. beat Iran. And what we discovered in the hours after the game was that, well, not only were the Americans celebrating, but some Iranians were celebrating in Iran.
They've been taking
the U.S. win.
They've been taken care of.
I was going to say, were they hauled away by the Special Royal Guard, whoever they're called? Or
they are no longer with us.
It says here that, we actually have some of the audio, a compilation of the Iranians celebrating the U.S. national team win. Here we go.
That's the Iranian military gunning them down.
I think there's people setting
those are fireworks.
Oh, okay, all right. Sorry.
This is all part of the protests that are still going on there.
They're celebrating the loss.
Apparently the video is taken from the hometown of that 22-year-old woman who died in police custody because she wasn't wearing her hijab, right?
Yeah.
So they got particularly worked up.
That's a screwed up government there.
I know.
That's really run by crazy people.
People were cheering, shooting off fireworks, honking their horns. And there was another city where they posted some of this kind of video was a place with a high Kurdish population. They're also not fans of the Iranian regime, as you probably understand. The Kurds are always caught between those nations and often squelched politically. So there you go. A win for the Iranian people. Celebrating the United States in defiance of their own country.
So the U.S. has gone on to the round of 16. And the
Polish
play
the Netherlands.
And the Netherlands.
That's right. The Netherlands on Saturday.
All right.
And the Poles play the French.
Yeah.
You see, those European nations, they hang in there. They're good. They're good World Cup players. And they often do. So do the South American nations. All right. We got more coming up. Today, a family member out in Riverside, where that mother and her parents were killed and her teen daughter was catfished by a Virginia police officer. There was a news conference today involving this woman. She was the aunt of the teenage girl and the sister, I think, of the mother who was killed. Steve Gregory covered it. A few more details came out in that story. We'll also update you later on the Idaho student murders. A couple of twists in the story there, particularly one involving a man who, online people started to focus in on him as a possible suspect. We'll tell you why. He actually conducted some interviews to deny, and the police did interview him, that he had anything to do with him, because the new theory emerging in the death of the Idaho students, or one of them, is the word incel. Incel is involuntarily celibate. These are men that, well, they can't quite find women to like them and date them and probably have sex with them. So they get very angry and nasty.
Yes, because they send out such repellent vibes.
So that's a new theory, that some kind of an incel
They get enraged when they see women and men enjoying themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's along the lines of a stalker, but this could be more generic, the whole rage over people.
They end up proving everybody right.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. We'll have a Pastathon total for you coming up after the news at 3 o'clock. And again, that continues through Sunday. So give, please, Pastathon.com. And don't forget Smart and Final and Wendy's locations. Well, California's making history again. This bill, until I saw this in the New York Times, it did kind of go under the radar.
They're good at that because the news media doesn't cover this stuff.
I guess not.
They don't.
The new law makes California the first state, and don't we hear that too often, the first state that will automatically seal most criminal records for those who complete their sentences. How about that? So they're calling this the Clean Slate Movement, and we saw this a couple of years ago. Remember Garcetti was out there talking about the city of L.A., we need to keep people's criminal records away from them when people are trying to find employment. It's often a deterrent to hire them. Well, yeah, people have a right to know who they're hiring.
Oh, absolutely.
And their
background. Everybody has a right to know who they're taking into their business, who they're. What if you're hiring? Or you're hiring somebody in your home? Or you're renting to somebody in your building. You own the building. You own the home. You own the business, or you manage the business. You have a right to know if you have a bad guy coming in there. I think this is atrocious.
The measure takes effect in July. It will automatically seal conviction and arrest records for most ex-offenders who are not convicted of another felony for 4 years after completing their sentences. So
after 4 years, you can commit another felony?
No. No, I believe you'll be back in prison again. You have to start over.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. I guess you have to serve your time, get released, not be convicted of another felony for 4 years, and then your record will be sealed.
Oh, I see.
Right. And records of arrests that did not lead to convictions will also be sealed. And we see a lot of these cases where charges end up being dropped because you can't get somebody to cooperate with domestic violence and stories like that and over again.
This is just atrocious. Is this what employers want? They don't want to know?
No, of course not. Nobody should be in prison, nobody should be in jail movement wants.
Boy,
When they're released from jail, you can't deport them, and also you can't find out any of their criminal history.
This needs some kind of proposition on the ballot here.
To overturn this?
Yeah, to override this. This is horrific. Oh, my God.
Now, they claim, and we're always fooled by this, people convicted of serious and violent felonies, as well as those requiring sex offender registration, will not have their records cleared under the law. But we found this out in ballot propositions in the past. They always say that, don't worry, sex offenders won't get any special treatment under Proposition 57 or whatever. And then we find out...
Yeah.
No.
They lie about that. They lie constantly, and I'm sure they're lying here. By the way, as we've told you 100 times, your list of serious and violent felonies does not match the state list. For example, arson is not considered a violent felony.
No.
So if a guy has burned someone's house down and you hire him to do construction work, I would think you'd want to know that he used to burn homes down before you let him into your place.
And neither is the infamous rape of an unconscious person.
Right.
I guess the thinking there is, well, you know, they weren't awake to consent or not consent, so you know, we can't assume they wouldn't consent.
Imagine hiring...
It's not violent. It's not serious.
Imagine hiring a guy in your office, maybe works late nights, and he's working with some other women in the office, and he's raped an unconscious person, but you can't find that on the record. Imagine that? That's what the real world is, because all their definitions are fake, and all their promises are lies. And that's been proven over and over again. Why do you think we have the crime rate we do? Why do you think we have all those bodies by the tens of thousands laying in the streets? It's because of lies being told, and it's because of misclassifications of their crimes.
They dug out three exceptions. Criminal histories would still be disclosed in background checks if you're applying to work in education, law enforcement, or you're running for public office. No, they kind of covered themselves. Huh? These are usually public government jobs. But as for most people in the private sector hiring people, I'm afraid the record will be sealed. Now, you could say 4 years is enough time for someone to have at least maybe gone on the right path in life.
No, maybe they just weren't caught.
Oh, committed, right, maybe.
Yeah. No, I think people who commit these kind of crimes commit a lot of them, and they get caught very rarely. So, if you get a guy in one felony, he's probably committed 10 felonies, maybe 20, maybe 50. Because rarely are people caught. There's tons of unsolved cases out there. Who do you think commits all these unsolved crimes?
Yeah.
It's the same crowd. I don't trust the system at all. I mean, for God's sakes. You know, from Newsom and Jerry Brown right down to George Gascon. I don't trust the system.
Didn't have a lot of opposition. The Peace Officers Research Association of California, which is the state's largest law enforcement labor organization, did oppose it, raising concerns that by allowing violent criminals back on the street with their records dismissed, they will have less deterrent to commit another crime. But of course, as I read earlier in the story, allegedly, well, okay, serious. There's violent crime, and then there's serious violent crime. Look, so you have to look at all the shades of this.
This is a catchy social trend, and it will continue until it boils over. And then there'll be a backlash, because this is what goes on in human society. Everyone thinks it's really cool and woke. Let's give people second chances. I have an idea. Don't screw up your first chance. They go, oh, well, how are they going to get a job? It's like, so don't commit the first crime. Is it that hard? I don't know. I didn't commit any felonies. Did you? In fact, everyone I know never committed a felony. How did we do it?
Here's the jaw dropper in the story. California has 40 million people. How many do you think have a criminal record?
How many?
And you'd have to exclude children, at least for now, right?
Right.
8 million.
8 million have a criminal record?
That's correct. 8 million people in California have a criminal record.
So if you exclude children, I think children are probably, 20% of the population.
You can't exclude old people because they could have had a criminal record from years earlier.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Old people are just the...
So you've taken out several million, right?
So you hire somebody, you got a 25% chance he's got a criminal record.
Yeah, it's probably like one out of every four people, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to run a business. I really wouldn't. If a quarter of the applicants are criminals, it's like, I'm going to sell apples myself. I'm not going to.
The Democratic state senator who introduced the bill is this Marina Elena Durazo. She was like a labor hack.
She's a monster.
We cannot continue to pour billions of dollars into rehabilitative services at the same time exclude people from positively contributing to their communities.
People don't get rehabilitated. That's fake. That's a fake industry.
That's what they sell on everybody, though, when they pass things like Prop 57.
Because people want to...
Which they say, oh, don't worry, they've been rehabilitated in jail. They got all this good time credit. They're ready to rejoin society and be a good citizen.
Because it's
and then we find out they get good time credit for just sitting there and taking a nap
because
picking up a piece of paper.
Everybody lies about it. They lie. And the rest of the noobs want to believe in it. They want to believe in it.
Yeah.
And everybody, I want to believe there are second chances. I want to believe you can be rehabilitated. I want to believe that people can come back and change their ways. Most of them don't.
It's a positive outlook, sure.
Yeah, but it's a fantasy. People don't.
It should be up to you. I think if you feel that way and you're hiring people or renting out a room, then you wouldn't care about their criminal record anyway. So go ahead. Feel free to hire them or rent out a room, even though you could do a background check and see. But I think for the other folks who have concerns, they should be able to access this information. Isn't that fair? Let the person doing the hiring or the room renting decide whether or not they want to know. Right? Because the person you just described wouldn't care anyway. Wouldn't need this law. Would still be like, well, you know, they paid their due. They paid their debt. I'm sure they're ready to rejoin society. I'm not going to question that.
First of all, they haven't paid their debt because cheap sentences are all over the place now. Everyone's getting released way too early. Yes. And in Gascon's world, they're not being sentenced very much to begin with, if anything at all. So they haven't paid any debt. They were simply spun through the revolving door real fast. And they haven't changed. They haven't been there long enough to get rehabilitated. It's a total farce.
We got more coming up. It is the John and Ken Show right here on KFI AM 640 live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
We did a background check on this one over here.
You did?
You did? And what'd you find?
Oh, my God.
Vegan crimes?
People wouldn't believe it. Yeah. We got photos of you eating meat.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Can you burn them?
All right. Well, there was a news conference this morning out in Riverside. It was the aunt of the teenage girl who got catfished by the policeman from Virginia who drove all the way to Southern California to claim his girl. He pretended to be a 17-year-old. She is a 15-year-old. Well, in the process, he killed her mother and her grandparents. And they had an aunt speak at this news conference, and they revealed a little more detail. We'll get together with Steve Gregory after the news at 3 o'clock. The day after tomorrow is Friday, and it brings back the moist line to the John and Ken Show. So we're ringing the bell for you to leave a message.
We have a lot of vacancy?
I don't know. I didn't ask this week.
Yes. Plenty of room, folks.
There's your answer. Plenty of room in the moist line room.
It was a Thanksgiving holiday.
It was. That's right.
People were laying around, and they were not communicating with us the way they should.
Yeah, but I thought that also unleashes a lot of anger. You got annoying relatives you hate seeing. You got stupid idiots who want to shop all day. You got...
Oh, sure. I mean, I felt that way. I called in.
You called in what?
The moist line.
Oh, the moist line? You did?
Sure. The holiday was aggravating me, so...
When Clay used to do the moist line, I always told myself I'm going to do that and see if I can slip past him, come up with something funny or something weird.
Well, let's test Eric out.
I don't know. I might. I have to think of a good story first to tell. The moist line, you can, of course, access it through the iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon. The toll-free number, which is always there, 24-7, no operator standing by, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664 7886. I said that. Did you see one of the airlines has gotten rid of phone customer service? You can't call on the phone anymore.
Well, they were pretty close to that anyway.
Yeah, you know it's airline, right?
Because if you call the airlines, you know, you have one of those idiotic recordings saying...
Yeah, your hold time is like 2 hours?
Exactly. Your hold time is 2 hours and 17 minutes. It's like, well, you know, I'm just
But they added that thing with, you leave your number, we'll call you back as soon as there's an availability.
Sure.
I've done that a couple of times.
A week from Tuesday, after the plane's already taken off. They might call you while you're in the plane, ask you if you still want to stay on board.
Mm. Yeah. Well, the mayor of New York City did something that should be repeated all over the country, although I'm skeptical that this wasn't really more a political move. We'll have to see how it actually plays out.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is he going to follow through? Because this guy's a good talker.
He is. Eric Adams is his name. He was just elected last year. And he made the announcement that we're now going to take in seriously mentally ill New Yorkers, even without their consent. And that's a big difference there.
All right. So that's what Karen Bass ought to be hit with every day. They're doing it in New York. I thought California's first.
Yeah, where's her state of emergency? This sounds like it's a good plan under a state of emergency.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of announcing that you're keeping Garcetti's entire staff until April, how about now, to announce what you're going to change?
Emergency workers can already hold dangerously violent people, but the directive expands the interpretation to include more people who are unable to care for themselves, which could put them in some form of danger, meaning they're broadening the definition. We think.
Well, the execution
they didn't
is
precisely
what...
define what basic needs are or say how city workers would determine whether they're being met. Clearly, you see somebody lying on their own waste and vomit on the sidewalk with their pants down. I don't think they're meeting their basic needs.
No, that would be a clue. That start with those guys. Pick those guys up first.
There isn't anybody who goes around or drives around L.A. that doesn't see what we're talking about here. And I could take an outreach worker with me and stop at several corners and say, that guy, can you see that guy yelling at himself there? That one, right? Who can't even keep his pants up? That's somebody you ought to talk to and take in.
Yeah, you
start with that.
You could tell by their behavior. Their behavior is unstable, violent, loud, frightening. If you're frightened by a guy, that's the guy you have to take in. It's not really complicated. You don't have to do a two-day evaluation process.
So the police officers, the firefighters, and the Department of Health workers can all do this, but they're going to undergo something called imminent training sessions, whatever that means. But I mean, there's already outreach people at these social welfare departments.
And again, it's not hard. You look at the guy and you say, gee, would I want him living in my house? Would I want him as a roommate? Or would I be terrified? Oh, I saw a woman this morning going into the bagel shop.
Yeah. Oh, the bagel shop.
And she was dressed like a witch. She had a long black coat and a black hood on her head. And she had the most penetrating, frightening, beady blue eyes that I'd ever seen in my life.
Oh, that was Deborah Mark.
Well, let me give it another look here.
I'm wearing yellow.
She likes to wear black. Oh, like no, a witch,
black.
No.
She was eyes that frightened me. Really, my heart jumped a beat when I looked at her. And normally I don't look at them, but her eyes were so penetrating. I involuntarily ended up looking at her, and her eyes met. It's like,
did
like
she cast a spell on you?
No, she started. She was mumbling. She was mumbling at me. And I walked in, because now I tell the owner of all these shops and restaurants when there's a crazy person right outside, because I figure they want to know in case, you know, business is down. So I went to him, and he goes, oh, yeah, I saw her. He goes, we put out a call to get somebody. She likes to leave us presents. I came in this morning, and there were presents left for me.
What is that, poop?
Yeah, that's what he was. He just didn't
want to. That's what he was referring to?
Yeah, but there was other customers there, so he didn't want to. But,
well, a present. Yeah. It's an unpleasant present.
Right. So I guess she lifted up her long black coat and fired off a present.
So the mayor says that New York state law already allows the city to intervene when mental illness prevents somebody from meeting basic needs. But he says there's a common misunderstanding that we can't do this with they call it involuntary assistance. Involuntary. Well, it really wouldn't be assistance if they're not volunteering. Unless a person is in immediate harm, like they're holding a knife to their throat, I guess. We have to put that to rest. He brought up the example, and it's kind of what you were just saying. The guy on the street corner who's doing pretend boxing, mumbling to himself, you know, just acting out some strange paranoid psychosis in his head. He says, those kind of people. And well, you may think there's few of them, but there's more than you think.
I've seen three of them in less than a week. This was the third one in front of a place I was walking in to buy food. I went to one bagel shop, and there was the guy, I think I told you about him the other day.
Yeah.
And he's yelling at his imaginary friend, and he's got his arm around another imaginary friend and was talking quietly. He had like two people in his group.
Wow.
And he was scary and threatening. And then there was the crazy lady who was yelling with an Eastern European accent in front of the grocery store. And she was really worked up. She was leaning on a garbage can, just shouting. And I went to the security guard at the grocery store, and I said, you see her? Oh, yeah, she's around all the time. It's like, well, oh, and they just pushed her away, pushed her aside after a while. And then this third one this morning. So I don't know. I got three in a week. And I don't drive that far from my house.
Well, I would like Karen Bass to even say something like this, because at least this is, even if they don't carry this very far, this might just be for show. It's going down the right road. In fact, they even got praise from some Democrats on the New York City Council, even got praise from a legal aid society. They all think, and common sense tells you, you've seen these people. John just described them. The mayor in New York described them. that these are the easy types to take off the streets because he says they often refuse help. Maybe they don't even know what you're asking, right? So you can't let that get in the way. And what the activists always say is, you just want them out of sight. You just want to remove them against their will because you don't want to look at them.
No, I don't. I don't want to look at them, and I don't want to feel threatened by them. And I don't want to get knifed by them. And if you don't like it, that's too bad. You go live somewhere else. It just seems that normal people in this town and any other town ought to say, you know what, this is the way we want to live. And we have the right to go and buy breakfast without fearing that some crazy person is going to slit our throats. Oh. And if you think that's unreasonable, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe you should go. We should get so aggressive with these groups, these anarchist activist groups who want to protect all the schizophrenic crazy people, because they're not doing these people any good, which means they're just doing it for themselves because they enjoy the anarchy and it's how they make their money. It's how they get funding. That's what, if they cared about the homeless, they would not allow them to rot and die in the streets. So their whole shtick is totally fake.
We will return. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
You can condemn to die by a jury of your peers.
The electricity shall not be passed through your body until you are dead.
And now, an update from the John and Ken Execution Desk. Here's John and Ken.
John Cobell and Ken Champagne on KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Wow.
Well, yeah, we've been covering this story for some time now, and it's taken what might be a final twist. The inmate is Alan Eugene Miller, who was sentenced for a triple murder July 31st, the year 2000, in Alabama. He is 315 pounds, and they've been trying to execute him. But it's been tough to find a vein to hook him up with lethal injection.
Well, because he's so fat.
And he's subjected to lethal injection.
Shouldn't his veins be the size of railway tunnels?
I couldn't tell you.
I would think on a hefty guy, right? He's got more blood flowing, more blood pumping through there.
So he has fought his own execution through various means, including the claim that we just talked about, that he is not suitable for lethal injection. In fact, he took this so far, he said, well, if you want to kill me, the way you're going to have to kill me is nitrogen hypoxia, which got our attention here at the execution desk because that's one we'd never heard of before. And what came down from a judge in a settlement is if Alabama wants to execute this man, they cannot lethally inject him. And apparently the state agreed to that.
They could not connect an IV line. He's 351 pounds. They tried to find a vein, and they poked him with needles for over an hour. For over an hour, they couldn't find a vein? Well, this is
too
Alabama.
Fat. They couldn't. It's all stuck under the fat.
Too fat. And they left him hanging vertically as he lay strapped to a gurney. I don't even understand that. But he... they've had problems with IV access during at least four executions since 2018. Three of the four had to be halted. Well, that's just a bad system, and those are bad employees. Why don't they get somebody from a hospital?
During a nitrogen hypoxia execution, the condemned person would be made to breathe in pure nitrogen gas, killing them as their blood oxygen level falls. The gas would likely be delivered by a gas mask. Now, an employee of the state had previously asked Miller to be fitted for a gas mask, but he said no. Because, again, he's just trying to put this off, so he looked up something bizarre.
He doesn't get a vote.
The governor actually signed a bill that approved nitrogen hypoxia as an alternative method back in 2018. But it has never been used to execute a human being. And so they have no other states to draw information from. Alabama has to develop a first-of-its-kind protocol for its use.
What?
It still hasn't finalized its protocol for a nitrogen hypoxia execution.
Why is this so complicated?
But a state attorney said we're getting close. So they may kill this man yet through his preferred means. He killed three men in two workplace shootings in 1999. An employee entering Ferguson Enterprises saw this man exit the building before finding two men shot dead inside, and then he went to another former employer site and killed a third man. This is a fat-headed triple murderer who, in one headline I saw, oh, he escapes death. But acting like, wow, cool. That's right.
Yeah.
They failed to execute him. This is incredible. Well, here's the thing that I did not know. If they did lethally inject him and killed him, he would be the first person who was ever faced a second time with lethal injection. And since 1947, there was a man that they did lethally inject a second time in 1947.
It should be impossible to screw this up. Do you know how many murders are committed every day in the United States? 50.
No.
50. Which means random people off the street successfully kill 50 people a day. No training, no protocol. They're not following any list of rules and regulations. They just kill 50 times a day. And wow. And this crowd in Alabama, how you do this? I don't know what to do. I can't find a vein.
Well, funny you said that, because just 2 weeks ago, Alabama tried to execute another inmate, Kenneth Eugene Smith, and they got a late start and they couldn't find a vein and they called it off.
Okay.
So they're having problems finding veins.
They need an
upgrade. I don't know if this guy's fat. I don't see his picture.
They need an upgrade in their employees. I'm sure if you grabbed a couple of nurses out of any hospital, they'd find the vein real fast.
Well, they might morally object.
Well, they can't.
A lot of people in the medical profession don't want to be involved in executing people.
It's Alabama. You'll find somebody. It's not that hard. Pay them enough.
Members of the execution team were medical personnel, said a government official.
I'll learn how to do it.
But he did not know their specific qualifications.
Does this happen with obese people, really? Their veins just disappear under the fat?
I don't know.
I've never... How about a gun?
This guy apparently spent $1,000 to hire somebody to kill a woman by the name of Elizabeth Dorleen Sennett. That's what he was, a murder for hire.
In fact, since we're dealing with murderers, why don't we let these guys kill themselves? They've already proven they have the talent.
True.
So just hand them a gun and say, here, you know what to do.
That's true.
Just lock them in a dark room and take care of yourself.
So,
well, I don't understand why states, including,
let's look at the bright side. Maybe they're going to open up a new door, and we're going to have a chance at nitrogen hypoxia executions. Maybe we'll find that one's easy to do, that it's clean, nobody suffers. Won't happen, will it? No.
Plus, I want them to suffer.
The anti-death penalty people will find a reason why that's inhumane. All right, when we return, Steve Gregory will join us. There was an update today out in Riverside concerning the murder of a couple and their adult daughter. There was a man, a Virginia police officer, who pretended to be a 17-year-old online, and he came to Riverside to claim their 15-year-old daughter/granddaughter, and he ended up killing the three of them. Steve will join us next. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.